Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the morning show.
Sometimes I'm right, and I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. The butcher, the banker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. Hope you all are having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. A little bit of a different intro to the show today. We'll get into that a little bit more in just a bit. But we get kick off our show with our friend, Brittany Merlot, joining us. Talk a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing good over here. How are you?
Pretty good. Waiting for the sunshine. It's on its way. Just gotta be patient.
Oh, good.
That is good to hear. That is very good to hear. So, what is it looking like for today, Brittany?
So bright and beautiful by this afternoon. We're gonna hit warmer temperatures. We're gonna make it to the mid 70s. We'll have a west breeze out there, nice and refreshing, warming us up. And again, that sunshine just becoming more and more abundant as a high pressure system starts to work its way into the state. Now, we've got a few things going on, though, as we go into the next few days. First of all, we've got some areas of wildfire smoke moving back in by tonight and through tomorrow afternoon. We're also still looking at some sunshine to start the day tomorrow, with clouds increasing by the afternoon, making it possibly to about 80 degrees tomorrow, and then the showers and storms start to dampen the rest of our week. So really today and through early tomorrow, I want you to get outside and enjoy it, because it's going to be pretty damp and dreary, especially for Friday. And cooler, too, where highs go back down to the mid-60s.
Good to know. Good to know.
Little ups and downs.
Yeah, that we can prepare that much better for it, thanks to you. We appreciate you. Brittany, are you a tea person? Do you like tea?
I do.
Today is National Iced Tea Day, so I wasn't sure. We're kind of doing my own poll around here and seeing, and so far I'm the only person that's a little about tea.
but try like the peach flavor or something sweet to get you kind of like into it, and then you can go black and harder like that.
If we add sugar to anything, James will eat it.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. It's 100%. I think that's where I messed up, because I used to, I know when I was, my grandmother, mom really liked tea, and I would try like Earl Grey or the blacker teas or something. I think that's what they said. And yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. But
fruit teas, James. Fruit flavors.
Definitely. I'm going to try that. That sounds good. And we appreciate you, Brittany. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We will talk again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a terrific Tuesday.
You too.
Thank you, Brittany.
Best in the business right there joining us. We're looking forward to hanging out and getting some more forecast news for you tomorrow. For today, coming up, we got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club in a little bit. We're also going to get into foods that should never be reheated in the microwave. I'm writing that one down, by the way. I need to be reminded of that. How most Americans think that they are above average in trustworthiness, loyalty, and other things. We'll get into that. Some entertainment news. We say goodbye to a legend, as we kind of were doing right there with Sly and Family Stone's Everyday People playing us in. Also got an interesting one. America's richest self-made female celebrities. That is going to be on the way. We'll get into Bluegrass at the Lake. Talk about that a little bit. Got our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, and the Silver Foxes have a great show coming up as well.
Oh, right. That's this week, isn't it?
Yes. And also coming up, we have the most misspelled words across America. And I gotta own something, everybody. We're doing this one in part because I am guilty for so many of them. it's just right of me. It's just, you know, trying to make things right, Melissa. That's all. We'll go over that.
It's good to face these things, James. That's how you get better about them.
I want to get into Iced Tea Day, but I have to pull an audible for a second. I have to do something a little bit different I wasn't planning on. But we got some new chairs here in the studio. Shout out to Chuck and Corey and everybody making that happen. We've needed them for a little while, so appreciate it. We've got about five or six of them in, and I put two of them together so far. And I like work with my hands. I've built a lot of things in my life, and it's just something I enjoy doing. So I was putting these together, and you know, nowadays they've got they give you an L wrench with everything, lot of that stuff, and I think that's really cool. But Melissa, I've never seen this before. In front of me, there is a white glove. Just a white glove, and it's kind of falling apart as I'm putting it on right now. I did not put it on to do this. I see this glove, and I could not figure it. Did I open a Michael Jackson at home kit? Is this what is going on here? I've never seen this before, and it just took me 20 seconds, way too long to figure out. Oh, it's so that when I'm using the L wrench, they want to let you it doesn't mess with your hands as much and everything. And you mentioned this being a safe place, Melissa, so okay. I'm taking you on your word on that, and the audience on their word on this. Okay. I don't do this. I the way I was raised, I'm not one of these guys that feels like I have to prove my manhood every 5 seconds. I'm confident in what I am. But there was a part of me that was offended. I don't need that glove. I've put together things my whole life. My hands are perfectly fine. Who are they to think I need this glove? I've never had a moment, as far as I can tell, I've never had a moment like this in my life where I'm sitting there with this cardboard box and this glove, and I'm like, I don't need you. I'm tough enough. I can handle this. I'm not proud of this, Melissa. I'm not proud of it. Not proud
of
it.
Well, I'm glad that's the realization you had.
I had a moment there.
I'm still confused about the glove.
Me too.
Is it like a plastic glove?
Nope. It's a white it's a white cotton glove. Almost reminds me of a gardening glove. It's a little like that, and it all as far as I could think of, I did not see anything in the instructions about the glove. And I've put two of these together, and both of them had the glove in there. And I've never seen this before. I put together a lot of stuff in my life, and I've never seen it come with just one glove,
so
one little white glove.
The chair comes with white gloves.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. One white glove, not even a pair.
Just one. Well, you have a pair now because
you have
two chairs.
Yeah.
Does it fit your hand?
No. My hands, and for the audience out there, my hands are gigantic. I have very, very big hands.
Yeah, but
it is not one size fits all, that's for sure. I'll tell you that. It's not. Because I just even tried to put it on, it's shredded. It's already ripped to shreds.
That's really weird.
Yeah, I don't know. But I guess it's not a bad idea for those that might need it, I suppose.
It's not like it's got extra grip on it or anything.
No. That is a good point. I'm not even seeing anything that necessarily helps it other than just literally be cotton over your hands. But not that I needed it, Melissa. Not that I needed it.
Oh, thanks for showing your toughness.
Yeah, I just had to do that right now. It is National Iced Tea Day, and do you think it's the best summer beverage? Here is a big question for our audience today, and I hate to hit you up at 9 in the morning with this, guys, but call us up, let us know.
They're 715-424-2600.
You can also text us through the Civic Media app, and of course you want to keep that app handy for the 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours today for that Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win Contest word.
Awesome.
What is the best summer beverage? I will say adult beverages are included, what is, to everybody out there, your perfect summer beverage? I am so boring with this because I like juices, I like fruit punches and all that, but honestly, ice cold water. Just some ice water. Not just water, I want ice water. That's as picky as I can get with it. To me, that's the perfect summer drink.
It would be lemonade.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
I mean, how is that not the iconic?
It's got to be. Yeah, you're right.
Summer drink. Although, when I was a kid, my absolute favorite thing to have in the summertime was blue Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah. yes.
It was perfect.
I loved Kool-Aid so much.
I could drink a gallon of that. My mother wouldn't let me.
Well, we ran into that a lot of that too as kids. And my cousin Nicole I only have two cousins that are older than me. My cousin Nicole and my cousin Debbie. And Nicole and I, we get along great now and everything, but we didn't always. And we were very competitive with each other. And she used to beat me in things all the times. And this time we're tied up. And my aunt Sandy made us Kool-Aid. And so we get these big Kool-Aid glasses, and we're going to see who can drink it the fastest.
Oh, no.
And we both go in, and we start drinking. And I'm drinking, but something don't taste right about it. But I'm not going to let her beat me, so I'm going to finish it. Now, she stops right away, and I think, oh, this is great. I'm going to win. And I finish it, and my Aunt Sandy comes into the room with this horrified look on her face. She forgot to add the sugar.
Yeah.
I won.
You won with your flavored water.
I could still taste it. The ice tea brand Milo's polled 1,000 Americans and half said drinking iced tea reminds them of summer or spending time outdoors and think it is the ideal summer drink. 53% think iced tea is the ideal drink for sipping on the porch, deck, or on the pontoon or something like that. I just added that last part. A separate poll recently found 8% of American adults have never tried iced tea. 8%? Wow.
8%?
Even wow. I've tried iced tea. Wow.
I mean, I've never tried Milo's iced tea.
Yeah, no, I haven't tried that either. Them. Yeah, yeah. I'm guessing I've seen the label. I just don't, because I'm not an iced tea person, I haven't recognized it. I don't know. Social media has lots of thoughts on what the, quote, best summer drink is. Other contenders include lemonade, nicely done, Melissa, soda, beer, Arnold Palmer's, mojitos, slushies, soda water, Gatorade, watermelon juice, cold brew, coconut water, or regular water if you want to just be boring about it. Now, wait a minute. Now, hey, I did. That's not fair. It's like, okay, yes, it is a little
boring.
You
at least added ice to yours.
I did, yeah, yeah. Yes. I forgot about slushies. Slushies is a good one. That's a good one. Those are good.
And Arnold Palmer, which is really hard to say.
I didn't realize Arnold it until Palmer. I tried. Yeah, yeah.
It's lemonade and iced tea together.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess you're just combining those two things.
I know I've had an Arnold Palmer. I just don't know, I don't remember what it tasted like. I don't remember if I liked it or not. I got to try one again.
Yeah, it's really lemony tea.
We want to hear from you, everybody. What do you think is the ideal summer beverage? Let us know. 715-424-2600 or text us through the Civic Media app. You can hit us up throughout the whole next 2 hours here, or really any time throughout the whole summer here. It's not going to be. We'd love to hear from you and hear your feedback on that one, especially if you've got any that weren't mentioned. I wonder, I don't know if I'm being far-fetched here, but I would imagine maybe a brandy sour, an old-fashioned, or a Bloody Mary might pop up in the mix here a little bit. There's some other stuff that might come up. Gatorade was another good one, I thought.
When you think of summer drinks, it's you think of it being hot and you want something to replenish your electrolytes and your fluid levels. So alcohol isn't the best option for that. In fact, it's the worst option for that.
Yeah, it really is.
But if you're looking for something, like to sit on the porch and relax, the mojito is a nice one because it's got mint in it. I think of a margarita, too. Kind of summery.
Those are all good ones. Yeah. I think the Gatorade thing for me, so much of when I first moved out here, the summers were sports. We played, basketball in the morning, football at night, or baseball in the morning, football at night. And so, yeah, Gatorade was just nonstop. We were drinking a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Or the generic versions of it and stuff, for the most part. So, good stuff. We want to hear from you. Let us know, everybody. When we come back, we're going to do some celebrating with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It is Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. You heard Pitbull. It's time to do some celebrating, everybody, with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day, we get to celebrate you, talk about our great friends at El Cafe. Visit them today. They're open for the week, everybody.
That's right. Open for the week.
Got some great specials over there. Be sure to check those out at their Facebook page or by going to lcafewi.com. Head on over there. Enjoy some great food, great atmosphere, and even better people. Wish them a good morning from all of us, everybody. And get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. You can email us info@wfhr.com. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages, WFHR or WIRIs. And, of course, you can call on up.
That's right, 715-424-2600, or just a touch or two away on that Civic Media app.
Yeah, we love hearing from you guys, everybody, and there are a few things we get more excited about than live birthdays and anniversaries, so get them to us. We look forward to hearing them. Melissa, I need a 1 through 3.
Ooh, I pick 3.
All right. Guess that's that one right there. So we can get right into this. And first up, we want to wish a happy birthday to Civic Media's own. We got happy birthdays to Jesse Strong and Conrad Krieger.
Kruger, yes. And Jesse Strong. Yeah, happy birthday to both of them. Conrad is usually the producer for Pete Schwab's show.
Ah, yes. I've met Conrad, and Conrad's great. Very patient, I will tell you that. He's very patient. He's also just a really good producer, a really good guy and everything. And I apologize to him because Bria's mom, their name was Krieger. They spelled the same way, but they pronounce it Krieger. Okay. Conrad's awesome, though. Wishing you a good birthday, Conrad. And Jesse's awesome.
I could also be wrong. Either way.
Jesse's awesome, too. Happy birthday to Jesse Strong. And we're also wishing a very happy birthday to Tom Locks.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Tom and his wife, for a very long time, did a lot in this area, and it worked over at the United Way, and Tom was with our Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. They're, I believe, I want to say Marshfield now. I apologize if I'm getting that wrong. Maybe Wausau, but I just do that all the time. I'm sorry, everybody. But Tom's great. We're wishing Tom a very happy birthday. And a happy birthday to Brandon Thompson.
Happy birthday, Brandon.
Enjoy the day, sir. Hope it's a good one for you. And a happy birthday to our qualifier, Jane Collins.
Jane, happy birthday.
Enjoy the day, Jane. Hope it's a good one for you. We encourage you to brag to all your friends, family, strangers, and neighbors, pets, that you are our qualifier for today.
And I'm sorry, go back. Tom, what was Tom's last name again?
Lux. L-O-U-C. K-S.
Yes, he's in Marshfield.
Marshfield, it is Marshfield.
Okay. Yes, I knew, as you were saying it, and I was trying to look up the specials on El Cafe's web or their Facebook page, and I was like, wait a minute, I know that name. Marshfield.
I hope the audience every once in a while just takes a moment to appreciate the running around Melissa must have to do when working with me. The sad part is I do try to prep too, and I still do this to her every day.
We're juggling and spinning how many plates at the same time, so. And we're human.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just we're real people here.
Yeah, very true.
I did want to mention the avocado BLT omelet.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you did. That sounds really good.
Fantastic. And also a tostada, a steak tostada for breakfast. I think that sounds fabulous.
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, that does sound really good.
6-inch crispy tostada shell topped with grilled asada, which is steak, 2 eggs, your style, pico de gallo, avocado, and queso fresco, includes potato or fruit.
Did you see this Greek chicken breast? That sounds really interesting, too.
What is Greek gravy?
Yeah.
I need to know.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I grew up around a bunch of Greek families, and I don't think I've ever heard of that. I got to check that out. Got to ask them about it.
Served over rice. That sounds really good.
Yeah. Head on over to El Cafe today, everybody.
You won't be disappointed.
No. Taking a look at our list of people, celebrities that you, all of our recent list, our locals have in common with and who they share their day with. Sasha Obama is 24.
24.
Few birthdays have made me feel older than saying that now.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I just seem to remember them being kids. That's awesome. Happy birthday to her. Happy 33rd birthday to Kate Upton, Sports Illustrated model, married to Justin Verlander, one of my favorite pitchers of all time. And she's done a little bit of acting here and there. She seems cool. Seems like that. Lee Bryce is 46, country singer. I Don't Dance, Hard to Love. Got a couple of them. Wonderful character actor DJ Qualls is 47. The new guy, he was in a Road Trip, was in a bunch of movies. One of those, you definitely know him if you see him.
Once you see his face, you know who he is.
I hate doing this stuff, but let me name drop just for a second, Melissa, because he guest spotted on our TV show that we did when I was out in California for the show I filmed on. He was one of the guest actors we had. I had about 3 different guest actors, and he was one of them. And just a sweet, wonderful, the way you think he might be, he's even better. Just a really good guy. Really good guy. One of those people I really root for in the industry. I had a great recurring role on Supernatural, too, that he was really good at. Faith Evans is 52, a wonderful R&B singer. A few comedians are having a better run right now than Bill Burr, who was 57 today. I think one of the smartest comedians in the game today, if not the smartest, I think him and Chris Rock are pretty close. They're pretty neck and neck. Dave Chappelle's pretty far up there, too. But Bill Burr is also one of the most important voices we have right now. There's a lot of people that say that, I'm not taking sides. I just give this side, or I just talk about this. And we all know that we can see. We have eyes. We see that they're taking sides. Or people who are out there and they're not that funny, so they say stuff that they think is controversial to try to get clicks and all that. See where they are in 2 or 3 years if you don't, you want to see what I'm talking about here and everything. And then there's guys like Bill Burr who have never changed. They've only gotten stronger and fine-tuned what they've done. Bill Burr has been doing this style of comedy his whole career. It's just taken a while for, I think, the masses and I think current audiences to kind of get a guy who really does call it like it is and really doesn't take sides. And if he sees insanity, he's going to call it out. Because going back to jesters and kings and queens, this is the job of comedy. It is the great equalizer. It takes the king and the pauper and makes them equal. And that's and in this day and age where our comedians are often being our best reporters and the only people we can count on to truly tell it like it is, like Bill Burr ain't got anybody in his pocket. Jon Stewart doesn't have anybody in his pocket. These individuals are that much more important. All they should have to do is worry about making people funny and making people laugh, but their jobs have become that much more important, and they've taken it on and taking the ball and run with it. He's also a really good actor. He's on Broadway right now doing Glengarry Glenn Ross. One of my dream roles.
Yeah, he's been in a few things.
Yeah, he's good. He's just really good. Let's see here. Jane Triplehorn is 62. Wonderful character actor. Big Love, Basic Instinct, Waterworld she was in. And then some people no longer with us, like the legend, Judy Garland, born on this day in 1922.
Yes.
I mean... Are there, if somebody had never seen acting, singing, writing, anything like that, and you have to give a good example of it, isn't she maybe the best example? Like, here's Judy Garland. Just go ahead and there you go. You get a full, lesson on all of those things right there. Incredible. Wizard of Oz.
And such a young age that, what she had to go through. It's just incredible.
That's another part of, I think, what, to me, when I think of her, makes her story so important, is certainly incredible, incredible talent. Wonderful, natural, just organic, natural talent. And then what she went through as a child actor and really, I mean, all the things that she went through and how it changed the game, how it made her being honest about those things and sharing those things as an adult is part of the reason why every child actor since has had it a little bit better. It's gotten it's still rough. There's still some difficulties with it and everything because it's an imperfect art. You're trying to get kids to do a job. Any parent, any person who has ever watched a kid, anything like that, understands what that's like. But the way the kids are treated, the conditions, the hours, so many of these things that Judy Garland, the whole Wizard of Oz cast went through, just a nightmare of a filming process, the way that went. And all of them, especially Judy Garland, really paved the way for those things. So her career is integral for many reasons. Maurice Sendak also celebrated a birthday on this day, born in 1928. He created Where the Wild Things Are.
Ah, yes.
My mother, she loved to read to us, and she loved that we wanted to read. But I will never forget, really, Jimmy, this one again? Like, just every time. Mom, I want to read this one again. Mom, I want to read this one again. I love it. We didn't have many books growing up, but that one was the one, man. I just loved her reading that book to me.
And the type of illustration in that book was just so fun.
Wasn't it just completely different? There might have been stuff, but I don't remember as a kid anything like those illustrations. That's such a good note. Part of that book also for me, it was one of the first books. It may have been the first book I read to my brother and sister, it was where I started doing voices and everything. To where when I had kids and stuff, that I would start doing that. That book is a big one to me. That one, Good Night Moon. Those are gotta have. Yep. And Hattie McDaniel, born on this day in 1893. She was the first African-American to receive an Oscar. She won Best Supporting Actress for Gone with the Wind in 1940. Another integral person in the game and making conditions equal and stuff, not just for African-Americans, but for women. And a really interesting person, too. That is going to do it for our birthday and anniversary club. We wish happy birthday and anniversary to everybody out there celebrating. Melissa, I can't think of a better way to celebrate than with our friends at El Cafe.
Yeah, because, you know, the one thing that we didn't mention this morning that we should always make sure to mention is their fabulous array of pies.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. Don't let Seth know that we didn't mention the pies until this late
well,
in the segment.
We did. We got to eventually. We did.
Nice.
Don't come down on us, Seth.
Go on over there today. Wish them a good morning from all of us. We will take our news, sports, and entertainment break. We'll come back and have some more fun. I got a great one about a Wisconsin Girl Scout who broke a record. I want to get into that.
Yeah.
It's coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. Ha! Welcome back, everybody. Little James Brown to play Melissa and I in on the morning show here at WFHR. Good soul funk gets me going, Melissa.
Oh, yeah.
Hope y'all are having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Thanks so much for joining us. I try to get these good stories wrap up our show with or end the hour with them, but I just want to get to this one right away, Melissa. A shout out to Sophia Thiel over at the WMTV in Madison. And I also like saying that. WMTV. That's some great call letters right there. Shout out to our friends in Madison. A Wisconsin Girl Scout has officially sold more Girl Scout cookies than any other person in state history.
Wow.
Molly Lenius has sold over 35,000 total boxes of cookies over 13 years, the Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Badgerland said.
Wow, that's a lot of cookies.
That's incredible, yeah. Quote, as a child, I was very shy, Lenius said. Selling cookies helped me get out of my comfort zone and taught me how to talk to strangers. The cookie sales also funded her participation in Girl Scout destinations, which has given the teen the opportunity to travel to places like Costa Rica, Italy, Hawaii. That's pretty cool.
That's incredible.
And she isn't the only one with a passion for selling these in her family. The family has sold a combined total of 64,646 boxes.
Oh.
Molly's oldest sibling, Victoria, contributed 29,000 of those. So there's some bragging rights involved in this here, some sibling rivalry there.
Yeah, no kidding.
She plans to attend Iowa State University and major in mechanical engineering with a minor in mathematics.
Wow.
That is pretty cool.
She's obviously got, you know, the math down. How many more boxes do I got to sell to beat my older sister?
Right. Yes, exactly. Congratulations to her, to the Girl Scouts, to their whole family,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, to that family. That's awesome.
Think about every person that's they made happy buying one of those boxes, like over the years. That's pretty impressive. Just one more, you know, reason why we love supporting our Girl Scouts organization.
Yeah. What was it? The largest entrepreneurial organization for young girls?
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty cool story. I had another one that I wanted to touch on too real quick. And this is another one of those ones where I encourage you to go to goodnewsnetwork.org, everybody. Check out the website. It is the perfect palate cleanser if you need them. You know, if you're not like me and don't want to watch old wrestling biopics or, you know, animals, funny animal combinations, the Good News Network is a really good palate cleanser. It's much much better for you. And you learn things too.
Yes.
And this one is... So I think that the longer I do this job and the older I get, the more these stories hit my heart hardest when people take tragedy and can turn it into something beautiful. We're going to be talking about Bluegrass at the Lake a little bit later. I think it's locally one of our better examples of this. Dove's Nest is another example. There is nothing stronger in the universe than the human spirit. I genuinely believe that. So, following the tragic drownings of 15 school children in his hometown, an Indian man has started a swimming club that has seen over 10,000 people learn how to handle themselves in the water.
Oh, wow.
This man has essentially taught over 10,000 people how to learn to swim from this tragedy.
Oh, my goodness.
He's narrowed down the introductory course, which focuses entirely on swimming for safety rather than for sport, to just 16 lessons that begin by removing the fear of water and river's current.
It's smart.
It's called the Velasio River Swimming Club, and it now boasts thousands of members among the communities living along the Parian River in the southwestern Indian state of Kerala. It was started in, it was created by Saji Valarasari, a humble furniture shop owner who, according to the Better India website, was overwhelmed with grief following the overturning of a boat carrying a school class of it and its teacher. He started by teaching his children to swim, then his friend's children, and then some people in the neighborhood. And soon the news spread that free swimming classes were being available, and it just trickled down throughout the country.
That's really awesome.
And this man is, and he's not done. I mean, he's still going. He's still doing this. This story is an ongoing story, and there's so much more depth to it and everything. And I don't want to sit here and just read to our audience. I want you guys to find this story. I want you to read it out. I do want to read one quote from him. Quote: "All kinds of people come together, young and old, men and women, from diverse professions, backgrounds, and belief systems. We don't see any of those differences. No one is looking down or looking up. There's only teaching."
That's incredible.
Hits you. Hits the heart, man. It's beautiful. That's a beautiful story right there, and a big appreciation to him.
And he's empowering people to, you know, save their own lives by learning to swim. And it's not as common, you know, as here. And rivers are different, obviously, than swimming in a pool or a lake, because you do have to deal with currents.
The phrase of teaching a man to fish, just taking a little different, teaching a man to swim. It's a little different, but it's still the same essence. We have a great partnership, and a shout out to our friends at the Southland County YMCA. This is a topic that around this time of year, if not earlier, we really hit on in this area, and how many lakes and rivers we have, and how important it is at a very young age to get kids comfortable with water, not just comfortable with water, but swimming.
Confident.
Do you remember how you learned to swim, Melissa? I feel like most kids I ask around here don't remember that. They just learn so young.
Well, I do remember taking swimming lessons at the Sparta pool. Because I had somebody make fun of me when I was on the diving board. So that kind of stuck with me. But I don't know. I don't remember not knowing how to swim.
Sure. See, that's a great way to, because that's I think where I'm going with that. And I'm sorry to hear that, though, by the way. But
it's one of those things from childhood that you kind of carry with you.
I didn't, where I was growing up in Chicago, we had Lake Michigan and everything, but I didn't really have a lot of experience swimming. It was really my papa that taught me how to swim. I waded in a pool or anything like that. I didn't really know how the actual swimming. So we're on Lake Camelot. My papa looks at me and he's like, "Oh, you got your vest on?" I'm like, yeah. He goes, "Make sure it's tightened." I look down to tighten it, and he pushes me in. My papa never did anything like that before. It was always easing me into things. But for years, I used to get frustrated about that until I realized I'm one of those people that for everything that I do need to take time and go through and all that stuff, every once in a while, you just got to throw me in.
You just got to jump in.
And there's things like that in life. He knew what he was doing.
I think my parents took us to like the Mill Bluff. And Robinson Creek a lot, which are two very small little lakes, and they look very similar, which is why I used to get them confused as a child. They're kind of long and skinny, but they're not very deep. And I just remember, I have pictures of us in our little orange, like, floaty thing, and I don't know, we just spent a lot of time, not a lot of time, but enough time at the beach that I don't remember ever not knowing how to swim.
That's interesting. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Thanks for joining us. Let's get into this one. How trustworthy are you, huh? Rating yourself. Look in the mirror. Be honest. Well, could you grade your trustworthiness? Honesty, empathy, creativity, patience, artistic ability, dancing ability, or your ability to cook without a microwave? These are all things that if you were rating yourself, how would you rate yourself in these categories? It's a comprehensive new poll. More than 70% of Americans believe that they are above average or far above average in trustworthiness, loyalty, and honesty.
Okay.
And real quick, even if that isn't accurate, like, you know, people aren't being honest or something like that, I find that encouraging. I think that's pretty good. I'd love those numbers to be higher, but even if people are just hoping to be that way or trying to be that way or trying to present that, I think that's encouraging. And it's a very low bar, I admit. But I'm thankful for that kind of.
And also, you know, respect for the 30% who admitted that they're not trustworthy.
Right. Yes. 100%. Yes. Yes. More than 60% believe they're above average in ethics, reading ability, empathy, open-mindedness, attention to detail, and sense of humor.
Okay.
Women were... sorry, did you have some?
Nope.
Okay.
Keep going.
Women are more likely to believe they're better than average at all of these, except sense of humor. 67% of guys think that they are above average compared to 53% of women.
Yeah, guys have a tendency to think they're funny.
Yeah, yes, exactly, yes.
Except for James, who says he doesn't have a funny bone.
No, well, that's a medical condition.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at your medical condition.
The biggest swing in the other direction was empathy, which may not be surprising. 69% of women think that they are more empathetic than the average person compared to 56% of men. So real quick, forever, women have been fighting to be represented in comedy. I mean, we're talking like since the first joke was told, everybody. So that has been a thing in almost every medium for a very long time. It's not that surprising to me that women would come out the gate not necessarily thinking they are more funny, even though I think if I had to think about it, I'm pretty sure I've known more funny women than I have men in my life. And the empathy part, I bet you that men and women are a lot more equal in empathy, just men are not quick to admit it.
I don't feel sorry for anybody. That's we're doing our own thing. Rub some dirt on it. You're all right.
this way that we are now, I think those things are changing in society, and that does not make our society softer. It makes it stronger.
Yeah.
And just more current with the day and age and everything. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, only 15% of Americans say that they are above average in running, and 16% say that they are above average in dancing ability.
Hey, those numbers seem pretty accurate.
Technically, to be above average, you don't have to be great. You just have to be better than half the population.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting way to look at it. Yeah. Less than 30% of Americans believe that they are above average in music ability and singing, athletic ability, physical strength, artistic ability, sexual ability, attractiveness, and sense of style. A few other stats from the survey. 3/4 of Americans say that they have high expectations of themselves. Women are more likely than men to say that they find it difficult to accept compliments. And adults under 45 are more likely than older Americans to say their parents praise them often. And Americans who were praised often as children find it easier to accept compliments as an adult. Huh.
That's very noteworthy.
Yeah, yeah. I am the opposite of, everybody deserves a participation trophy. I'm not necessarily, I don't believe in that necessarily. I am a big, 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 big believer in encouragement, support, cost nothing, can mean everything.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a trophy to do that. You can do, not that I have anything against the trophy thing and stuff, but I do think that there's a balance there, because you also don't want to, kids to feel entitled or to feel like, coming out the gate, hey, I'm the smartest, most beautiful thing in the world. And then they get to, high school and realize, oh, no, I'm not, or whatever. There's a balance there.
There is. And there's a difference between giving empty praise
mm-hmm.
and giving, the accolades when they're due.
Yeah.
And I think there was an entire, my parents specifically, I can speak to my own upbringing, they didn't necessarily praise us because they didn't want us to be prideful, because being prideful was considered sinful in the religion that I was raised in. So I think that there's some of that in previous generations, as well as being careful to not be prideful.
Yeah.
But it's very different being proud of your abilities versus just being prideful, in my opinion.
Agreed. I agree with you. I don't think you're alone on that one. And I think that that's something we're, as you know, the, I don't know that you ever really, you're always trying to figure out, even at, whether you're a teenager, an adult, whatever. I think we're all trying to grow and figure those things out as we go along. Some get a better handle of it than others. But this isn't something I think that, There is a way to do it. You just, it's almost knowing the person and what kind of person responds differently to different things, especially from a young age.
Yes, but there's also the take of, it's better to praise good behaviors than to discipline bad behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of my take on it now, having come out of the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And then also struggling to take a compliment, because there's definitely that as well.
So, and that's something that I've always struggled with too. And I'm just one of the world's worst at taking compliments. And I usually use sarcasm or something like that to combat it, or anything along those lines, which I find interesting, because my mom and dad were pretty good about, you know, praise. I mean, they weren't every day with it or anything like that, but I feel like they had a good balance of it. And I still struggle with those things. So that's an interesting stat, that last one about adults. And being praised as kids and how they were taking compliments as an adult. That part is interesting to me, too. But all of this is stuff that, it's just data, you know, and things that hopefully help you with your day-to-day. I don't know that there's anything in it that really blows you away or you know, stands out too much, but I think it's interesting.
It's an interesting survey to have had to sit down and take as well.
Yeah, I bet.
Like, you know, how much self-reflection did you have to, like, actually put into taking and answering these questions?
Have you ever done anything like, I know we've all done surveys, and especially with work and stuff, but any of these kind of blind surveys where it's like, you, this is from YouGov.com, like a national site or something came to you first? I've never even been approached by anything like this.
No, and I don't seek them out, because I often think, especially when they pop up on a social media site or something, I'm like, yeah, data mining.
Yep.
They're just trying to steal your stuff. No, thank you.
If you want to check out the stats and look in more into it, everybody, YouGov.org is where you can go for that. Just a quick little list here of where was it that I wanted to touch on here, this thing. Okay, so we got foods that should never be reheated in the microwave. And there's a handful of these. So to me, if it's edible, I mean, you can't do that. Hard-boiled eggs. It builds steam within the egg and can lead to an eruption whenever the egg is cut into.
So that's with the shell still on.
Right. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Wouldn't have thought of that. But yeah, hard-boiled egg. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Foods rich in vitamin C, like broccoli, bell peppers, berries, and leafy greens.
Oh. I didn't know that.
It says when exposed to heat, the vitamin C is destroyed. It's recommended to eat these raw whenever possible.
Yeah, I think usually you do. I mean,
yeah,
specifically microwaving.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, because it...
Because heating it on
a lot of those foods.
Right, and
and any kind of cooking process is going to remove some nutrients.
So, but it does say just when it's exposed to heat, so that doesn't... that's interesting. Huh. I want to look more into that one.
Yeah.
Chicken. Food safety-wise, reheating chicken is safe, but it won't be yummy. All the moisture evaporates, leaving the chicken with a weird taste and texture.
Yeah, kind of rubbery chicken. You gotta reheat it properly.
Yeah.
You know, either add some liquid or cover it.
Yeah. There's a way to do it, I think. You know, I know one of the things that I like doing when it comes to, like, especially with pizza. I don't like it in the microwave, but I'll throw it in the oven for 5 minutes. I'll throw it in there for a little bit and reheat it. Or
put it in a frying pan, James.
Oh.
The bottom gets crispy and the top gets melty. It's the best way to reheat pizza.
Whoa.
Thank you, Aaron. He taught me how to do that.
Mind blown. Whoa. Yep. Never
Try
thought
that
of
next
it.
Time.
Absolutely.
Try it.
I reheat
Then you
a lot
also
of pizza.
Don't have to heat up your whole oven.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Is that a good idea? I like that. Oh, I didn't try that one. Seafood is also on the list. Guaranteed yes. to dry out. It's from
and
the sea.
And guaranteed to make the house stink or yes. office.
Yes, or office, yeah. It feels like the office is where I've experienced that the most.
Yeah, don't microwave fish at work. Just don't do it.
Oh, there was on a plane once. I don't know what happened. I don't know where it was or if they were serving, you know, in the first class they were serving seafood or something like that. But we're like just in the air. We're in and all of a sudden it hit. And for the next 3 hours, there was just this god-awful sea smell kind of to the air. Oh, it was nasty. It was one of those things where you're looking around like, does somebody open a window? Like you're on an airplane. There's nobody to open a window. And the final thing on this list, you can check out the entire list at the New York Post, is steak. If you microwave steak, I do believe that is a meat crime. I do. No, no. It causes it to it causes an uneven reheat. It will dry out in certain spots while other parts remain cold.
Yeah. If you need to reheat steak, just throw it in a pan.
I have eaten a lot of steak in my life, and I don't believe that there's ever been anything left when I'm done. I've had good steak, bad steak. I've had all kinds, T-bone, you know, sirloin, whatever. I don't believe that. Oh, wait a minute. No, Salisbury steak. I can't handle Salisbury steak. I can't handle it.
No?
Nope, can't do it. Can't do it. Don't know what it is. Don't know what's the difference about it or anything like that, but there's something about it I can't do.
There is a lot of differences, and there's a gravy involved. So, yeah, and mushrooms, typically. And you're not a mushroom guy.
No, and I'm not a big gravy guy. No. You know, now, in there's a difference there. My nana used to always call marinara gravy. And you know,
that's only a rule in your family.
Yes, no, yes.
The rest of us do not call red things gravy.
Genuinely have never heard somebody else call it that. But she swore that that's what they did at the boot. You know, that's in the old country. That's what they called it. You know, she wasn't going to Americanize herself or whatever, even though there's she did about ways, a billion things.
There's better ways to reuse steak than just heating it in the microwave.
Yeah, I feel like that's...
Turn it into another dish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot. That's steak.
Put it in soup.
You treat it good. You treat yes. it good. It'll treat you good.
It's and you eat it all.
Yes, absolutely. we're looking forward to coming back here within a whole other hour of fun, everybody. And keep in mind that we are just a little way away from the Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win Contest Word coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Be listening for that, everybody.
Download that app if you haven't already.
Get set and ready. Just have it in, you know, and just be listening to us on it. And that way you're all ready to go. You can go ahead and text
the word in. You have four opportunities to enter every single day for that grand prize and four chances to win daily.
Mm-hmm. It's coming up for you real soon in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll be back with more show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids.